Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I almost drowned 3 times as a youngster. Twice, my father wasn't there to save me. Thankfully, someone else did. But one time, in fact the first time when I almost drowned, my father was there to save me. And boy, am I glad he did. But can you imagine if he would have seen me drowning and he would have walked away? Can you imagine a father watching his son drown and just walking away? Well, believe it or not, my friends, that's exactly what God the Father did to his son, Jesus the Christ. He saw him drowning, and he just walked away. Now that's not to criticize our Heavenly Father. God is love, so it must have been for a loving reason that he let his son drown, so to speak. And we're going to discuss that today. Let's turn to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and we'll read verse 46. This is Matthew chapter 27, and is verse 46. Here it says, "And about the 9th hour, and this was when Jesus was on the cross on Passover day, about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the key question there is, why have you forsaken me? Why are you walking away when I'm about to drown to death? Now let's look at this word forsaken. It's taken from a Greek word which is spelled EGKATALEIPO. And I don't know how to spell Greek, but I think that's spelled enkatalipo. Enkatalipo. But anyway, it's a Greek word and you can look it up in the concordance. But it means to desert. To desert someone. To see them drowning. And to walk away. It means to leave them behind. Well, my friends, again, that's what the Father did to Jesus, his only son. When he was on the cross, he actually turned away. He deserted him. He left him behind. That's what this word forsaken means. But again, if God is love, he must have done it for a loving reason. Why did the Father forsake his son Jesus? Let's turn over now to Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 through 2. Here we're going to find the answer. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 through 2 it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities," in other words, your sins have separated you from God, and your sins have caused him to hide his face from you so that he will not hear." So that's the answer, my friends. God forsook his son, Jesus, because Jesus had the sins of the world on him. The scripture says that Jesus became sin, even though he never sinned. He took upon himself all of the sins that the whole world has committed and ever will commit. They were put on Jesus. And because of that, because of the holiness of God our Father, because he cannot interact with sin, he had to turn away, he had to forsake, he had to desert, he had to leave behind his son Jesus on the cross. He had to walk away and let him drown by himself, because Jesus needed to die for all of the sins of humanity to be forgiven, to be wiped away, totally forgotten, never anymore heard from. And that's the love of God. He had to give up his own son so that all of us could be made sons and daughters of God, so that every person that accepts the precious blood and the precious sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son of our Father, that because we accept this by faith, then we can have salvation. We can be forgiven of our sins so that we don't have to die. The scripture says in 1 John 3 verse 4 that the sin is the transgression of the law. And then in Romans 6 verse 23, it says that the wages of sin is death. So when we sin, we transgress the law. And when we transgress the law, we earn death. But we can have the gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life if we accept Jesus Christ, who took away our sins and took upon himself our sins, so that we don't have to die for our own sins. So he died in our place, and that was the love of the Father. Now David is a type of Jesus in many, many ways, and it was actually David who first uttered those infamous words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so let's go to Psalm chapter 22, and we'll read verses 1 through 2. This is Psalms chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. And while you're turning there, remember that we read in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 2, that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So that's not the problem. The problem, it says, is that your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have caused God to hide his face from you so that he will not hear. So keep in mind that part about God not hearing us. And now let's read about David when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So he's writing this song, and it's called the Psalm of David. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And why are you so far from hearing the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime and I cry in the nighttime, but you don't hear me. See, that's the same terminology there, the same wording. It's because of our sins that God turns away from us and he won't hear. We can cry in the daytime, we can cry in the night all we want, but God will turn his face away from us, will not hear us until we repent. Because God cannot interact and God cannot abide with sin. God is a holy, a pure, a just, and a righteous, and a perfect God. And he does not dwell with sin, cannot abide in sin. And so he will not deal with that. He won't tolerate it. We have to repent of our sins. And if we do that and repent of our sins and accept our Savior Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God slain for our sins, then we can have an audience with God. Then we can pray in the daytime and in the nighttime, and God will hear us all of the time. Now, again, we already talked about the result of sin is death. With that in mind, let's read Romans chapter 9 and verse 29, because this is a very, very interesting saying here and story as it references Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is in Romans chapter 9, and we'll read verse 29. Paul is talking about his own kinsmen of the flesh, physical Israelites. And we know that Jesus came to the Jews first, the Israelites altogether, but most people know them today as the Jews, but he came to the nation of Israel and they rejected him. And so, of course, the gospel began to be sent to the Gentiles. So Paul is addressing this here, and he asks this question or makes this statement. Isaiah prophesied beforehand saying, except the Lord had left us a seed, and this word left is the same word for forsaken. Forsaken means to leave behind. So what it's saying here, except the Lord had left us a seed. So that in this case, it's saying that the Lord has not left behind all of the seed of Israel. Okay? So he has left a seed. He's left them in place. He has not left them behind. So it says, Isaiah said, except the Lord had left us a seed, we would be just as Sodom and Gomorrah are. Now, what is Sodom and Gomorrah like? And I'm not talking about the homosexual part, but I'm talking about what happened to them because of their homosexuality and their other sins. What happened to them? They were destroyed. For their sins, they were destroyed. They had to die. God wiped them out. Well, God didn't totally forsake or totally wipe out or totally leave behind Israel. Some are called into the church now, and of course the rest will be called into the church later. You can read about that in the rest of Romans 9, 10, and 11. But this was said, and it's interesting because, again, this is the same word where it says, left us a seed. This word left means to leave behind. So in other words, Jesus was just like Sodom and Gomorrah in the sense that he took upon himself all of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, so even they, when they are resurrected and given their first chance at salvation, even the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the other people throughout the ages who have been wicked, who have not rejected Christ, but just have not had their minds opened up to accept Christ, these people will be resurrected back to physical life and given a first chance to repent of their sins. But Jesus Christ took upon himself their sins to make that a possibility. And so Jesus Christ was slain. He was destroyed from the face of the earth. He had to die. So, just like it says, that except the Lord had in his mercy left a seed, then that seed of Israel would be no more, just like Sodom and Gomorrah is no more, and just like Jesus, who died for our sins, was no more a human being on the earth. He came as a human being, and he died as a human being. Now, speaking of dying, Jesus was only forsaken temporarily. Yes, he died, but he was resurrected. And that's the good news. He was resurrected, and he lives today. And in Acts chapter 2, in verses 25 and 27 and 31, David prophesied about that, about the resurrection of Christ, when he said, "You will not leave his soul in hell. Neither will you let your Holy One see corruption." And that word leave is also the same word as forsaken. So in this case, it's a positive statement saying, you will not leave him behind in hell. You're not going to forget about him, but you will resurrect him. And again, my friends, that's the good news. And then also, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, this is one of the most comforting statements in all of the Bible. And I'm sure you know this scripture. In Hebrews 13, chapter 5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Instead, be content with everything that you already have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor what? I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's the same word. God is saying, he's not going to leave you behind. He's not going to desert you. He's not going to forget about you. No, God has nothing but good in store for you. And that is one of the most comforting scriptures in the Bible, to know that God is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Why? It goes on to say, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what anyone can do to me. If God be for me, who can be against me?" God is on our side because God loves us. And it was the love of God that allowed him to turn away from Christ temporarily to allow him to die for our sins. And now if we accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we don't have to die for our sins. We will live forever.